Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We're going to be talking a little bit today about what is God's purpose now. In a lot of areas, people are experiencing a lot of trials and tribulations, and things may not be going well. Others are having excellent circumstances and situations. And one thing I want to start out with is that whether your circumstances are dire or excellent is not necessarily a reflection on what God is doing in your life. One of the huge differences between living under the law and living under grace is when we approach God through grace in whatever respect, whether it's just talking to Him or bringing problems before Him or learning from Him. Under law, you could only do that having fulfilled the law. That was the condition. And if you're at all familiar with what that involved, when we look at the do's and the don'ts and the long list of requirements in order to be someone who could come before God with boldness. We look at the role of the priesthood in under the law, that the priesthood symbolically entered into the presence of God on behalf of the people. Now, you and I enter His presence on our own. No one goes in for you. No one knows God for you. It's not something you inherit. It's not something you can gain from someone else. Now, hopefully you learn from others and see what to do and what not to do. And hopefully you're encouraged by others or warned by others. But knowing God is something you have to do for yourself. That may be good news or bad news. But it's essential in understanding God's purpose for the world, for you and I today. And it starts by keeping us from being distracted by what's going on in our lives. If you've listened at all to this program, you know our main emphasis is on being able to hear God's voice clearly for ourselves, then knowing how to test it, and then knowing how to act on it. Now here, we're not talking about gifts. We're not talking about the gift of the word of wisdom or prophecy or word of knowledge or any of those wonderful gifts God has given us. We're not talking about that. Instead, we're talking about hearing His voice, recognizing His presence. When you feel that often inner tapping on the shoulder, recognizing it as Him and knowing how to respond and then how to test. If we don't know how to do that, or even if we don't know that that's now our relationship with God, we can be easily distracted by our circumstances and even led astray from our circumstances out of control. Our emotions, our beliefs can mislead us, as well as we can be misled by others because we don't know how to go to God for ourselves. As always, it always comes back to know God for yourself. I've always found it interesting that in the scriptural portrayal of Jesus' life here on this earth, the only people he was mad at were those that were misrepresenting his Father's heart to the people. He was angry with the Pharisees. He was angry with the good Jews. They were so caught up in being good Jews, devout, devoted, but their devotion was to the law, not the God that the law was representing. Now, the law was perfect. What God sent to represent him during that time was perfect. It had a job to do, and it did it. What we need to understand is that time is over. And now what we're looking at is, what is God's purpose? What is our relationship all about with him? Are we still looking at do's and don'ts? Are we still looking at our meeting some standards? Excuse me for coughing. Hopefully I'll be able to finish this program. When God speaks with us, do we take it personally? Do we know he's speaking to us personally? Or are we looking at something as, oh, this would make a good teaching? Or how can I apply this to my life? Rather than, God, what do you want me to do with this? How relational are we with him? So then we can come back and look at the circumstances in our lives, whether they're good or bad. Say, Lord, are there any adjustments I need to make? There are things that he's doing in the world that he's going to do regardless of whether you're at peace or not. Regardless of whether you're fearful or not, whether you're ready for it or not. The only thing you have a measure of control about is how you relate to him. Because only God can have you ready for your tomorrow. When I was first studying the book of Job, I was always frustrated with God. Because here, this guy had this huge family and all these animals and all this wealth, and he was doing everything right. And Satan went after him and accused him to God, before God, and said, if the only reason he's following you and is faithful to you is because you've blessed him. If you take away those blessings, he will curse you. Now, mind you, this is not even a Christian story. This was way before Christianity. This was, Job was written way before Christianity and way before the Jewish tradition, any of the books that the Jewish history claims. And there are several versions of it, and they vary slightly. But the idea being that God decided to take Satan up on that argument and test Job to see if he took his blessings from him, if he would curse him. And the part that's always kind of made me mad was that in order to prove and test God, to prove and test Job, God killed his family and all his animals. And then finally got around to physically afflicting Job. And I always thought, that's not fair. Job may come through this with a shining halo and flying colors and be blessed beyond his wildest dreams. But the family and the friends and the animals that God killed, they're dead. He didn't say he brought them back. They were just bystanders. And that started me on, there's something missing here. We're missing something. And we all need to be aware of how we came about our beliefs. Because that is one of those stories that instead of saying, okay, I'm angry at God, you can't trust him, or me drawing another conclusion, instead, I decided to find out if that was an accurate representation of who God is. And fortunately, I was in a situation where I was encouraged to find out for myself, to see if God was real, he could speak for himself. And that's exactly what I found out, that a lot of these questions are great questions. Whatever questions you have right now, they're great questions. And God is allowing you to participate in that questioning, not so that you'll get an answer, but so that you will draw near to him. You may or may not get an answer to that question. But by experiencing who he is, his presence, his voice, you will be satisfied by knowing him, by being changed in his presence. This is one of the issues we need to learn to deal with ourselves before we can reach out to others. Trying to convince a non-Christian that there is a God, good luck with that. You know, we bring out our Bibles and say, you know, this is God. This is a true and accurate Bible. Well, first, you know, there's some real problems with that. But their response is totally justified. So what? So what if you can, you know, determine who wrote what book? why is the God of the Bible any more God than the God of the Quran? Or how come Buddha's not God? How come there's only one God? Why can't there, why is your God any more valid than anybody else's? And I'm sure you've heard your own versions of arguments. The only thing that convinces our, even ourselves, is our own experience. You can't argue with someone who has experience. In Christopher Columbus' day, they thought the world was flat, and if he sailed to the New World, he'd fall off the edge. And the only way that was disproven was by experience. You and I have probably not been to the moon, but we would be hard-pressed to argue that it's not possible if we tried to argue with those who have been to the moon. So just because we haven't had a particular experience doesn't mean it's not a valid experience. And this is where we need to begin with ourselves. What experience do you want with God? What is he talking to you about? What is your God-given need right now? Because whatever's going on in your life, it is God-given. It's an opportunity to know him in that area. Now, over time, we've talked about consequences to our actions. And it may be difficult to hear, but what we learn through those is that there are areas in our lives that we are to take responsibility for. And simply by praying away something, just by saying, God, you have to heal me, for instance, or God, you gave me this house, you have to pay the mortgage. I lost my job, I can't pay it. Just believing something about God doesn't make it true. Just believing that he is obligated in an area doesn't make it so. How do you know if it's true? How do you know if it's accurate? How do you know if what you believe is true? Hear his voice, test it, and act on it. He wants you trained and ready and equipped and prepared for what's coming next in your life. Going back to our story in Job. Job survived his trial, but so many around him did not. What I came to believe is that God was working just as much in everybody else's life as he was in Job's life. And they just went on to whatever's next. And we have that confidence with ourselves. We've talked before about the different ages and that our time here on this earth is simply a time. It's not eternity. It's not the end-all and be-all. We are passing through this time zone on our way to another one. And it's through, while we are here on this earth, we have an opportunity to learn certain things, to develop certain skills and strengths, and to know God with certain boundaries and certain opportunities. Now, that's all from our perspective. What about from God's perspective? What does he get out of this? Why did he do what he did? Why did he create the heavens and the earth and the universe and you and I? And why did he create the circumstances you're in right now? And this goes back to, what is his motivation? What is his purpose? God's purpose, just like you and I, our purpose is our nature. God's purpose is his nature. Now, for you and I, who are born again, we've been born of the Spirit. We are now spirit beings. Our purpose is spirit. To be a spirit being, that is your purpose. To learn to live as a spirit being that has a soul and lives in a body here on this earth. That's your purpose. What's God's purpose? To live through you here on this earth. His purpose is who he is. His basic nature and ours is to give, to pour himself into you, and then through you. He created you to first be a receiver of everything he is, everything he has, everything he does. We are first partakers, receivers, inheritors of everything he is. Then, because we are spirit, we fulfill our nature first, having received, then as givers. We also learn how to give our self, our physical being, give up our own beliefs. We learn to rule and reign. Rule over ourselves and reign over our circumstances. Now, a lot of times when we talk about what is God's purpose now, we're looking short term. We're looking at the little things. What does God want in my life right now? Well, he wants me to, for instance, go into ministry or minister to my neighbor or overcome this area because it's a bad witness for him. We have these little things. But when we stand back and go, what is God's big purpose? We do need to break it up. He has purposes outside that we aren't in control of. We aren't in control of wars overseas or earthquakes, natural disasters. Things happen. Now, having said that, there may be times when God wants to use you, wants to train you to have an effect, that he wants you to learn how to stop a war across the world, or to lessen a tsunami, or to have other effects in your circumstances or global events. But that's not out of obligation, out of duty, or a burden that he has placed on you. Just to remind everybody, that verse that says that my people that are called by my name. In other words, if you guys would just shape up, I'll heal your land. That's in the Old Testament. That's law. That was when we were restricted in coming to him. That doesn't work anymore. What you're obligated to now is hear his voice, test it, and then do it. But he's also said that what he did, we can do much more because he's going to the Father. And the reasoning behind that is because he's gone to the Father, he has received his inheritance. And because he received it, you and I, because we are joint heirs, not lesser heirs, we are co-inheritors, equal inheritors. Whatever he has inherited, you and I inherited as well. So you now have the authority to speak to that mountain and have that mountain removed. Not pray that God would move the mountain. No, you speak to that mountain and it will be removed. And we all go, well, how come it's not moving? Well, are you hearing God? Just believing something doesn't make it so. Just believing that moving the mountain is in God's will, and if it doesn't move, we're not praying hard enough, we haven't done enough, we've messed up, we haven't measured up. You're guessing. We're all guessing. When we start thinking, we can come up with a list, a set of ideas and concepts when God wants relationship. Because when it all comes down to it, God's purpose now is that he's giving himself to us, that he's revealing himself to us and through us, that he's directing us. He is our engine, our motivator, our guide, our trainer, our personal trainer. He's consuming our flesh. Remember, this is the only part of your life that you don't have authority over. You can't get rid of your flesh. So this is the area where you are in learning dependence. Other areas in overcoming the world system, overcoming the devil, learning to reign over the natural realm, these are all things that you already have everything you need in order to do it. You're just learning how to do it. Overcoming your flesh is the only area where you are fully learning dependence. Now, these other areas, the dependence you're learning is dependence on spirit rather than using your own strength. And these are one of the difficult distinctions, but that's got one of God's big purposes in your life. It's to teach you to rule over yourself. And the only way you can do that is be freed from your flesh, which is what he does. And then reigning over your life here on this earth. So he consumes your flesh. And as he does that, he teaches us how to walk in freedom, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whether we're at death's door, regardless of whether we are being blessed beyond comprehension, regardless of what's coming our way, because we have heard his voice. We have received his life. We know how to hear him. We know who to turn to. And we know that whatever he has for us next, we will like it. It will be good for us. And there's nothing to fear. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again next Saturday. Thanks for your patience. You can always drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. Have a great weekend. Again, Diane at Prepare Radio.